When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible records that he made 7 statements, declarations, comments. And one of them was, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So this morning, I want to talk about paradise. What is paradise? What's the Bible tell us about paradise? Where is paradise? Is it in Hades? Is it in heaven? And how do we reach paradise? The Greek word, the word that's translated paradise in the Bible, appears 3 times. We just read Jesus on the cross saying, "Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." And that statement was made to one of the thieves that was on the cross next to him. When he was crucified, he was crucified with 2 other robbers. So there were 3 crucifixions taking place at the same time. And he said this to one of them. Paul also talked about paradise when he's referring to his beating to the point of dying or being almost dead. And he answered this in a boastful way. He didn't want to boast, but he said, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the 3rd heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows, and I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows." 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the 3rd time that this word is used, it's in Revelation. "To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." That Greek word, Strong's number 3857, is just paradise, paradisio. And it could be translated a park, a garden, a paradise. And it's translated in most New Testaments, paradise, the 3 times it appears. If you look at an English dictionary and you want to know what paradise means, well, it could mean heaven as the final abode of the righteous. And so that's the dictionary definition, number 1 definition. It also says it's an intermediate place for the departed souls of the righteous awaiting resurrection. It could be Eden, the Garden of Eden. It's a place of extreme beauty, delight, and happiness. And it's a state of supreme happiness, bliss. And I think when you say the word paradise, you understand all those meanings. Not a new word to us, it's a word that we use. There are some other words when we start talking about death. There's some other words in the Bible, and if they should come up in my discussion, at least you'll know what their ideas are that they convey. In the Old Testament, when people died, they went to Sheol. And that's the underworld. That's the place in which people descend at death. Sheol. The Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, uses the word Hades for Sheol. There's also sometimes where it talks about the pit. You know, you're in the pit. But it could be just a pit, a cistern, or a well. So that particular Greek word on the context, does it have you being put in the ground in a grave site? Or what does that mean? In the Greek New Testament, there are words like the abyss, and then there's Hades, which appears about 10 times, and it's the abode of the departed spirits. And then there's also the word hell, and that's Gehenna, or the Valley of Hinnom, and it's also a symbolic place for the name of the final place of punishment of the ungodly. help. And there's one time a word Tartarus is used, and it's a Greek name for the abode of the damned, and it gets translated to cast into hell, and it's in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Got it? All right, now to our text, Luke chapter 16. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm, and it's been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may come and warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." So this parable, maybe we can unpack it and we can see things about what happens when we die physically. The main points: both men have died. Angels transported Lazarus to Abraham's side. The rich man was buried, died and buried. Rich man was in Hades and tormented in flames. The rich man could see and recognize Lazarus and Abraham. Think about that. Did he ever meet Abraham? I mean, this is a couple thousand years. And yet, he's in Hades, and he sees Abraham. Now, he's going to recognize Lazarus, but Abraham, how does he do that? I used to joke about, well, everybody wears name tags, but, you know, on the mountain, when Jesus was up there in the Transfiguration, who was there? Moses and Elijah. And Peter, James, and John, they recognized them. How'd they do that? One of the mysteries that will be solved someday for us. Abraham referred to the rich man's lifetime. So when you were, you know, you had a good lifetime. So he knew about the lifetime of the rich man. Abraham made it clear that their locations were fixed, and there was a big divider, a chasm between them, and so they were in separate places. Separated by, you know, I think of the Grand Canyon, okay? A big hole in the ground. can't get over one side from the other. The rich man's brothers were still alive. We know that from that parable. And the law of Moses was still in effect. And the rich man pleaded with Abraham that he wanted Lazarus to go back and warn them. And that implies that Lazarus would have to rise from the dead. And of course, we're studying John, and this is a different Lazarus, but that word Lazarus rises from the dead. And he even says that in verse 31. Okay. Let's, an engineer, like pictures, diagrams. So let's see if we can't understand maybe some of the points of this parable. And I got this from Thurl Jenkins' book that I read years and years and years ago. It was called The Theme of the Bible. I was looking at the 1969 edition of it. So you can see I've been around a long time. And this is on the last page. His newer version, he took it out. I don't know why. And what we have is those two vertical columns there. One represents death, physical death, and the other one represents judgment. And in between, I got this circle, not quite a circle, and this is to represent Hades. Remember Hades? This is where the spirits of the dead go. Okay. But you notice there's some sections there, and that green bar represents that gulf. So we have Abraham's side, and Lazarus is with him. And then we have torment and flames, and that's where the rich man is. So we've got red there. Of course, it's hot, so it's red. And the great chasm, which is green. And the one time that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, talks about the angels that disobeyed God have been put into Tartarus, into hell, until Judgment Day. And so that's where that word Tartarus gets mentioned. So that's where I'm putting that name there. And although the Bible in this particular section didn't call this area paradise, it certainly sounds like paradise, and we'll see other scriptures that will help us agree that this is paradise. So there's this difference where those who've been righteous go when they die to paradise, where Abraham is, and those who have been unrighteous go to a place called torment, or Tartarus. Oh, look at that, two arrows showing that. So when you die physically, your spirits go there. They go back to God, but this is where we get put. And then eventually, there's going to be a judgment day, and all the spirits of the dead, as well as those who are alive, are going to be resurrected, new bodies, and we're going to face judgment. And after judgment, the righteous will go to heaven eternally to be with God, and the unrighteous will go to hell for eternal punishment. And this, we read this in Matthew 25, verses 46. So this is sort of a diagram of some of the things that were said in the account in Luke, and also some other things that points to judgment and the afterlife of the resurrected bodies that we will get. Everybody's going to be resurrected, so everybody's going to be able to face that judgment in their resurrected bodies. But then after that, another separation is going to take place. So what's interesting about this diagram is you see, at physical death, there is a separation that takes place. And then at judgment, there's another separation takes place, and that's where it gets separated from God. And sometimes that's called a second death. Okay. And that's being spiritually dead, separated from God. If this were class, I'd ask for questions, but I don't. Well, now we're going to ask the question, well, is paradise in Hades, or is it in heaven? And I have to tell you, there's sort of two positions for this. And I'm not going to solve that for you today. But it's something to chew on, because the first one is what's traditionally been around for many years. and we're all in going to be in Hades awaiting for the return of Jesus, the resurrection and judgment. But there are some scriptures in the New Testament that maybe are better understood, that paradise is now in heaven. Remember the scripture we read about Paul? That he was somehow transported to the third heaven, and that's considered where God is. And he said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. And this man was caught up into paradise. Well, certainly if you went up in the third heaven, you would believe you're in paradise. So it would appear to you to be paradise. And it is paradise, called paradise in the Bible. But Paul, in other scriptures as well, kind of talked about when he decided, do I want to live and stay here and continue to spread the gospel? Or would I rather die and be with Christ? Where's Christ? At the right hand of God in heaven. So here's just one of the verses. There's 1 Corinthians, Philippians chapter 1 verse 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and 1 Thessalonians. And I'll just read one of the scriptures that will give you the feeling that Paul's talking about when he dies, he's going to be with Jesus. He said, I'm pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. And the book of Revelation speaks of the righteous dead being in heaven when there's many earthly events taking place. And you can read that for yourself in Revelation 6 and verse 7 and also Revelation chapter 7. You know, you have the martyrs, the saints that have been killed, they're under the altar. And they're saying, how long? You know, how long are you going to let this go on where Christians are being fed to the lions and being slaughtered? And of course, the whole book of Revelation is a book that is to be read by Christians who are going to undergo severe persecution, but they realize that in the end, God wins. And the saints are able to be with God. So these scriptures presents a second view that says after the death of Jesus, after when he was at the cross and he told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, he hadn't died yet, he hadn't been resurrected yet. And so that's consistent with the story that we read in Luke, where the dead spirits go. So he's going to Hades, and he's going to be in paradise, and Jesus is going to be there with him. But we know that paradise, that Hades couldn't keep Jesus there. After 3 days, he rose from that. His body did not undergo decay, which if you were in our class this morning, you heard that mentioned as well. All right, so this, I just modified the diagram a little bit. I just moved that green thing over to the right. And now that chasm is huge, because you can't go from there to paradise. And, you know, they're waiting for the return of Jesus, and they'll come with Jesus on his return. And then the other people, the righteous living and the unrighteous living, will all face judgment. And then after judgment, we will go to heaven or we will go to hell. End of discussion. So let's make some conclusions. I'll make some conclusions based on the short study we've had. I didn't mention this, but you know, if you think about the Garden of Eden, and that was mentioned as maybe in a dictionary definition of paradise, and that if we look at the Garden of Eden and we think of it as a type, and we've gone into things that are called types, they're sort of representations on earth for things that are in heaven. So if we say Eden is a type of paradise on earth, it was an earthly heaven. They both have a tree of life, and they both have a river of life. One was on earth, and the other was in heaven. And there is a face-to-face relationship between mankind and God in both. Adam and Eve in the garden, before they sinned, spoke to God. He came and walked in the garden with them. But they sinned, and God had to separate himself from them. You know, he said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. And we know they didn't physically die that day. But they were separated from God because they sinned. They disobeyed God. And God cannot be with sin. He cannot be around sin. God is perfection. He is sinless. He cannot associate with sin. And so Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden. And if you remember the sermon that Nathan gave a while back, the garden is not guarded anymore. There were cherubim placed outside the garden so Adam and Eve couldn't go back in there. And but that type now of barrier that was between man and God, the cherubim has been removed. And then he pointed out how in the temple there was a big screen, between them, and there were cherubim actually drawn on this veil, there's the word, and it was ripped from top to bottom. And so the way into the holy place where God dwells, again a type on the earth, but ultimately representing heaven, has been removed. So, we will have a face-to-face relationship. We don't have to go through the high priest, who is the only one that can go in there. We have direct access to heaven. Finally, after being driven from the presence of God in the garden, mankind can again partake of the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. And that's what Revelation 2:7 tells us. So, the conclusion then is that the death of Jesus on the cross is what gives us access to paradise. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.